Morning. I feel the Lord's presence in the house and just feel like there's a message here, some things that I want to share with you, and I'm sure it will involve more than this morning speaking, but I feel like I need to talk to you a little bit. And God's come to encourage us today. God's come to tell us that He has not failed us, and He's given us promises today. But He hadn't left us, and He hadn't reneged on His promise. He hasn't went back on His word. He's going to keep what He's got for us today. I want you to take your Bibles and open it to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to read some things there. And I want to just talk to you for a little bit here this morning. Again, I don't know how long. Pardon me, I'm going to change this mic out here. I don't know how long. I don't really hadn't even looked at my clock. I don't care, to be honest with you. I'm just going to preach until I feel like God's done. And I believe if you'll get in, God will talk to you here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We need to hear the word of the Lord, and I just feel like we need that today. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. We always stand here if you'll do it one more time. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Can you say amen to God's word? You may be seated this morning. I want to talk about a little bit about the perseverance of saints. The perseverance of saints. I don't want to dig in so deep to the theology behind it this morning, except to mention that there are folks that take and struggle with this idea of the perseverance of saints. For it is put in connection with, or in contrast to, if you will, to the sovereignty of God. There are things that God has declared in His sovereignty. And by sovereignty, I mean that God is above all. He has all liberty and He has all power. He is completely unhampered, unhindered, and unlimited by anything or anyone. God has no boundaries. God has no limits. He has no restraints. He may impose something on His own self, but other than His own imposition, there is nobody that can tie His hands. There is nobody that can hold Him back. Amen. An antichrist can be restrained. Christ cannot be restrained. Hallelujah. An antichrist has to bid his time. God's time is any time. Glory to God. And I want you to know that our God is without limits. Therefore, God can do what He wants, when He wants, the way He wants, how many times He wants. God can do that, and He has no restraints or no restrictions placed upon Him. But when it comes to us, and some people have taken that and have thought that, you know what, if God's going to have His way and God's going to do it His way, then it really doesn't matter what I do. If God says I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. If God says I'm going to be lost, I'm going to be lost, and there's nothing I can do because God is sovereign. That's a wrong view of the sovereignty of God. They look at the sovereignty of God and they simply think that man therefore can do nothing to change the mind of God or the direction of God. God's decreed it and man has no participation in it. But that is a wrong view of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign and God is unlimited. But I want you to know there's another side of the coin, and it has to do with the free will and agency of mankind. And although God has declared certain things, there still is involved a participation and a faithfulness and a perseverance on the part of the saints. You and I have got an obligation. We've got something that
must be done if we are going to lay hold of the promises of God. And if you and I are going to make it, and I'm just here to tell you today, we've got to finish the course. We got to follow this thing through. If we stop short, we will lose it. If we quit, we will fail. We cannot shut down. We cannot shut up. We cannot shut out. We've got to keep on in order to lay hold of the things of God. The passage declares that God has made a promise unto Abraham. And he says that when he could swear by no greater, he swore by his own self, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, he said, I will multiply you. I'm telling you that God gave him a promise. But the Bible lets us know that Abraham did not get that promise the next day. He didn't lay hold of it the next year. He didn't lay hold of it the next 2 years. He didn't get a hold of it the next week. As a matter of fact, he died and never saw the finality of it. He went in the grave and he spent, as a matter of fact, some thousand years or so there, or some years there in the tomb, if you will, in the heart of the earth. He was there when Jesus came down and announced that he had come and preached the gospel unto those that were in prison. He was there and he got led out and brought to glory. But I'm telling you that even the far fulfillment of the promise of Abraham is still yet future. But I'm here to tell you, it's just as guaranteed and as sure as it's ever been. I'm telling you that God is going to have a righteous seed and a righteous remnant, and the earth is going to be filled with the righteousness of God. And the Bible says, he says unto us, the admonition in verse 12, follow with me, and we're going to go to the Old Testament in just a moment. He said that you be not slothful. Now that refers back to chapter 5. The word slothful there is the same word as dull of hearing that's found over in verse 11 of chapter 5. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull, slothful of hearing. It's the same Greek word, and it means that you get to a place that you're calloused. You've heard it so many times and it no longer penetrates you. You've heard it so many times it no longer affects you. It no longer moves you. It no longer stirs you. You're not growing. You're just hanging in there and you're hanging on. But that's not what God wants. He is a sovereign God and he has made a decree, but he wants you still to push forward, and he doesn't want you to come to a place where you get tired of hearing it. He doesn't want you to arrive at a place where you can say, I've heard it so many times, it's not going to happen. I don't care how many times I hear about it. I want it to stir my soul. Every time I hear it, I want it to spark a new faith and a new strength inside my being. Every time the Lord's voice thunders like the sound of many waters, I want to feel the glory of God and know that God has not failed to keep his promise. He said, I don't want you to be slothful. I don't want you to be dull. I don't want you to be retarded. I don't want you to be slow. I don't want you to be stupid. That's what he's really saying. But he said, I want you to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We've got a promise of his second return. We got a promise of a resurrection. We got a promise of a reunion with our brothers. We got a promise that Obama ain't going to be ruling for long and forever. We got a promise that the men and wickedness in this world will not be forever. We've got a promise here this morning that this world is going to wind up and that God's going to judge the sin and he's going to bring righteousness and peace. There won't always be war. There won't always be rumors of war. There won't always be earthquakes in diverse places. There won't always be famine and pestilence. There will be the glory of God. Fill this earth. And that's coming.
Yes, it is.
But we're going to get it if we persevere.
Right. Hallelujah.
If you quit, you're not going to see it.
Right. Amen.
If you let up, you're not going to see it. If you quit fighting, you're not going to see it. If you quit believing, you're not going to see it. You'll lift up your eyes in hell instead of lifting up your eyes and seeing the glory of God. You'll find your part with them that are in the lake of fire instead of finding your part with those who are of the body of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, if you compromise, you will not see it. If you let down your walls and let down your guard, you will not see it. If you backslide, you will not see it. If you get lukewarm, you will not see it. If you leave your first love, you will not see it. If you follow Jezebel, you will not see it. If you follow the false teacher, you will not see it. You're only going to see it if you follow patience and faith in God Almighty today.
Hallelujah.
And then he gives us this example. And he said, God spoke to Abraham and he gave him this promise. And he said, I'm going to bless you. And he said, I swear it by my own name. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. He repeats it. He affirms it. He declares. He takes an oath. God has made an oath. And he's based the oath on his own name. And that name has never failed. And he said, Abraham, write it down. I'm going to bless you. Write it down. You ain't got a son, but you will have. And you're going to have seed. And your seed are going to fill the earth. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to bless you. And my word will come to pass. Abraham didn't see it the next day. Oh, the next year, as I've already declared. But the Bible said this about him. He said, after he had patiently endured, he obtained it. He didn't see the far distant fulfillment, but he lived to see his son and his grandsons, and he lived to see that it was beginning to happen. But he got a hold of it and knew it's mine. Hallelujah. He went 25 years and never had any seed at all, and finally the day came and God gave him some seed, and he knew, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, but the Bible said after he patiently endured. The word patiently endured there means to be long spirited. It means to hold out for a long time. It means you don't faint and grow weary. I'm telling you, too many times we go through a little trial and our hope goes out the window. We get in a little bit of trouble. I like you men on the front seat. Praise God. We get in a little bit of trouble and we've done complaining and say it ain't going to happen. I don't know why God hadn't done it. 22 years ago in the barn, God gave this church a promise and he's going to give us a harvest. Oh, glory. And he has not went back on his word and he has not changed. And I'm telling you, the harvest is coming as much as I'm preaching here to you today. And we think, oh, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to come. The best we can do is just hold on until Jesus comes. I say, no, sir. I'm going to hold on and keep my spirits high. And I'm not letting go of what God said. I want you to see some things he endured. After he patiently endured, he got the promise. Take your Bibles and go back with me to the book of Genesis. We'll start in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at some things that he endured. First of all, when did this promise come to him? First come to him. It came to him in Genesis chapter 12. And now the verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that's the first time he gets that promise, and that promise cost him something. And the Bible said in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. God has given us a promise of eternal life. God has given us a promise of that eternal place and that great millennial reign and that great peace and that new Jerusalem and all the ages beyond, whereby the church will be unto him glory. God has given us the promise of the resurrection. But I'm here to tell you, it begins by you separating and devoting yourself to God. You can't stay in your country, Abraham. You can't stay among the influence of your friends and family. You can't stay under the leadership of your father. You got to become my son. You got to become my servant. You got to become my slave and separate yourself. I'm telling you, church, we're not going to get the promise by staying in Babylon. We're not going to get the promise by catering to the world. We got to come out and be a separate people. Say up to God. God doesn't give his promises to those who are mingling with the world. He gives his promises to those who have separated themselves unto him and unto his word. I come to encourage you this morning. We're thought to be crazy. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more our numbers are diminishing. The more it seems like folks are quitting. They're going back. They're compromising. They're letting down. This problem's distracting them. That's another message I'll talk about, why folks quit persevering. But I'm just here to tell you, you know it's true. People are backsliding. People are quitting. Children are being lost. They're leaving godly homes and they're choosing the world. And then they flaunt that world in front of your face. I'm here to tell you, there's a spirit of rebellion in this age. It seems to be unprecedented. We thought it was great in the 60s. It's greater now than it's ever been. There's more disregard for authority than we've ever had in our nation. There's a rebellion against God. In the 60s, we weren't trying to erase the Ten Commandments from every aspect of society. We had homosexuality and we had lesbianism in the 60s, but we weren't trying to undefine marriage and make it something else. No, we've reached new heights in our rebellion against God, and you can have no part of it. Come out of Babylon. Come out of your family's house and get with me, God said, and I'll give you the promise. Years will go by. And we come down to chapter 13. Abraham has left. God has blessed him and grown him. He has no seed. He doesn't have the promise. But he is growing in possessions. His nephew has come with him. Yes. You know, God told Abraham, get out.
Right.
Leave. Go. Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, even leave your father's house and I'll make of you a nation. I don't know that he was to drag Lot with him. There's sometimes we're wanting to drag some folks along and they're not on board the ship. There's sometimes we're wanting folks to jump in and they don't have a heart for it. They don't have the same vision we've got. And we keep dragging them. And we keep pulling at them. But there comes a time that the hearts are going to be revealed. And they're going to pitch their tents towards Sodom. And I'm telling you, the only thing Lot caused was conflict. And a mess in the midst of Abraham and the midst of his herdsmen and his servants. That's what you get. When you get carnality and worldly spirit in the church, you get conflict. When you got folks that don't have a vision for God and have a word from God, you get conflict. And this one fussing with that one and that one. Well, we ain't got room. And Abraham says, look, I give it all. You do what you want to do. You go. You choose the land before you. If he had respect for his elder Abraham, now, this is his uncle. This is one he ought to have respect for. He would have said, Abraham, you take the best land and I'll take the worst land. But no, Lot said, I want the grassy place. I want the plains that are there and then the valley there of the Jordan. I want those plains. Give me that nice and wealthy area. And he separated. And I'm telling you now, Abraham is left with the dregs. He's left with what looks like the desert. I think he was a little bit disheartened. It's always disheartening when you got a family member and chooses to follow the world instead of staying with God. It always breaks your heart when you got people around you who'd rather be involved in the gossip and the junk and the garbage of the world than they would dwell in the presence of the faithful.
Yes.
But there has never been in the face of the earth, not once. It's amazing to me how people, knowing the record, will still try to beat the odds.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
There's never been a man on earth that's ever conquered sin, or carnality, or worldliness except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he didn't conquer it by endorsing it. He didn't conquer it by joining hands with it. He didn't conquer it by catering to it. He conquered it by dying on the cross, by letting it put its full force of shame and reproach. Bring your full force against me. I'll deny you, and I will conquer you, and I will do it by way of death and not by way of submission and yielding to you. And he gave his life up. But I'm telling you, there's been numerous lots in the world that have pitched their tents towards Sodom, and before long they're no longer in the tent, they're living in Sodom and dwelling there. But after it's done and this separation has come and Abraham is standing there, he's been left with the dregs. At the end of chapter 13 in Genesis and verse 14, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou hast seen, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also shall be numbered. I'm here to tell you, they may go into heaven, but they can't keep it. Glory to the Lamb of God. Lot may go to Sodom, but he can't keep it. Judgment's going to come. And I'm here to tell you, God didn't give it to Lot. He gave it to Abraham, and he renewed the promise. The sinner can go and do what he wants, but he can't keep what he thinks he's got.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And when Abraham thinks, I've lost it, I didn't get the nice plane, God comes back and says, just look around you. You look on down towards Sodom, it's yours. You look on down towards Gomorrah, it's yours. That's part of the promised land. Lot's seed will be Moab and Ammon. They don't get it. Hallelujah. It's yours, Abraham. I don't care. You walk north, you walk south, you walk east, you walk west, it's yours. I've given it to you. Just get up and go and walk through the land. He renewed the promise. At times we come along and we see that worldly crowd. It looks like Lot's having a good time. I mean, he's prospering. His flocks are prospering. Sodom is economically wealthy and they're getting along good. And here's poor old Abraham. He's got to dig wells. He's got to deal with the desert land. Don't worry about it, Abraham, because Lot can't keep what he thinks he's got. He ain't going to be able to hold on to it. Sin will not possess the earth. Sin will not possess the earth, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes we look over and we see this church prospering, and we know they ain't preaching truth. You want to try to find some way, and you re-examine your position, and you re-examine your promise, you re-examine your preaching. Come on, you re-examine your principles, and you begin to wonder, have I really got it right? Well, but look at them. They don't seem to be going my way, but they're doing great. Yes, Sodom will prosper for a while. Gomorrah will prosper for a while. But around the corner, some fire and brimstone that's fixing to fall upon that city. And I'm here to tell you, Thyatira's having her time now. Jezebel's having her day now. But around the corner is a fire and brimstone move of God and the judgment of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, don't re-examine. Just hold on to your faith. You got to be long-spirited. You got to patiently endure. We got to see it through if we're going to make it. Glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! God's not going to give us a harvest if we join the world and cut corners to get it.
That's right.
We get down to chapter 14. He has to go down there. Lot gets himself in trouble. God sends some wars trying to wake up Sodom. Can I tell you that right now God is trying to wake up Thyatira churches?
Oh yeah. Amen.
His patience with them, and it seems like things are going right for them, does not mean God's blessing. It means God's grace, and He is trying to reach them. He's trying to wake up Jezebel. I gave her space to repent. And right now they're in the space. And they're in the time where they got an opportunity to turn it around. And to turn around that charismatic chaos. And to give their hearts to God. And to get back and rooted in old time holiness and righteousness. And as the landmarks that never fail and never go astray. Glory to the Lamb of God. They'll never lead you down the wrong road. And they'll never leave you high and dry. But I'm telling you that God sent some things along to upset them, and some kings come and they drag them off, and Lot gets drug off with the spoils of war and his family. And here comes a men of God. Isn't that just like that crowd? Oh, they live it up. They point their finger at you and they say, you see, I don't have to dress that way, and I'm being blessed by God. But I'm going to tell you, the first time they get in trouble, they don't call on Sodomites, they don't call on Gomorrah, they reach back there to that holiness man and woman. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Because they know where the fire is, and they know where the truth is, and they know that you're the one that's got the goods.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So here goes Abraham, grabs his men and goes down to rescue Lot and get him out of trouble. I'm telling you, that mess has been saved time and time again. My holiness folks who have been dedicated to God. God's trying to wake them up. There have been times you pulled some of your folks, your kinfolk, out of the water and out of the fire. And they go right back to that mess. And they get right back in that junk again. But you know something? Abraham's done something. He's whooped out some kings. He's went down there. And buddy, he's taken away their booty, their spoils. He took away their wealth. He didn't take nothing from it. Give tenth of it. Gave tithes to God.
Right.
Paid it to Melchizedek, the high priest. And you know what? I think after he got back, that's the way it is. We get in a strong battle just like this morning. We feel the power of God. Now you just well look for it. The devil's going to attack you tomorrow.
Right.
Come on now. Yeah. He's going to tell you that preacher didn't nudge us a bunch of excitement. Yep. And oh, Abraham, he got excited all right. Yep. Man, God gave him a great victory. He took a few hundred men and he destroyed kings. Right. He destroyed armies that knew how to fight. And he took them out. He won the battle. And then he got back. He didn't take anything from it. And he's standing there. And I'll tell you what. Here comes the old devil. Look at you now, boy. You've quit a fight against them kings. They're going to come and destroy everything you've got. They're going to take away your land. They're going to take away your sheep. They're going to take away your flocks. Let's notice what happens. Notice what happens. Down to chapter 15. Chapter 14 is where he whips the folks who have taken the Sodomites captive. Chapter 15, after these things... After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now he tells him that, fear not. Why does he say fear not? Because Abraham's shaken. Man, I stirred up a hornet's nest. And I didn't even keep anything from it. I could have at least kept some swords and spears and shields. I should have kept Eliskum. If I'd have kept some gold, I could have paid them off, you know, when they come and compromise. I didn't keep anything. And God said, don't worry about it, Abram. I'm your shield and I'm your reward. Glory to the Lamb of God. Don't worry about your enemies. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Glory to God. And Abraham says, God, but I still ain't got no seed. I still ain't got no son. You know what? And the Bible said, look what he said. Verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, not Eliezer. He said, out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Oh, glory. We get there. We get out and we stir up a hornet's nest. We make a stand for God. And when we do, I'm telling you what. Oh, we seem that, you know, some folks are. Oh, we really appreciate what you're doing. We really appreciate you, Brother Woods, and in others. We think, man, we've just made them mad, and they start coming against us. What are we going to do now? Everybody's going to push against us. We're not going to have anything. Our finances are going to be gone, and we're going to lose it all. We'll lose our tax exempt status because we said that so-and-so, we should vote for so-and-so, and on, you know, the enemy comes. But that's when God comes and renews his promise, and he says, all right, Abraham, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go beyond just simply telling it to you. I'm entering into covenant with you. He said, get you a sacrifice and divide it and lay it down. And he said, separate it out. And now God walks in between the sacrifice. Oh, glory. And he enters into a covenant with Abraham. Now God says to Abraham, I'm doing more than just telling you I'm going to do it. I'm going to now enter into a fellowship and a relationship and a communion with you. I'm going to partner up with you, Abraham. Oh, glory to God. And we come to a place where God says, I can work with those folks. I can work with those people. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And at the end of chapter 15, he renews that promise and he makes that covenant with him. And then come to chapter 16. And after they've had that exciting time and that day where God come through like a lamp in a furnace and entered into two divided parties. The lamb represented something. It was divided. He separated it and divided it, two halves, and then walked between it, and indicating that's what you and I were, divided, separated from God.
Woo.
But the God-man Jesus Christ, who took the hand of God and the hand of man, he walks through the divided parties and he brings them together. Glory to God. And he makes us enter into covenant with God. He said, you were aliens and strangers from the covenant of promise, but ye that were far off are now made nigh. Hallelujah. You that were aliens and strangers are now friends and part of the family of God. And I'm here to tell you right now, this world cannot separate us from a covenant keeping God. But we've still got to finish the course. We've got to go all the way. We can't stop now. We can't stop now. Why don't you say it with me? We can't stop now. Come on. We can't stop now. We can't stop now. Come on, say it. We can't stop now.
Hallelujah.
But when the fire dies down, the emotion dies down, we go back to planning and scheming.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, we had a great service. We got a great upper. Yeah. We felt really good. Praise God. We walk out of church so full of faith and so full of life. Nothing can tear me down.
Yeah.
And then you don't hear the voice of God for a while and you go through the dry spell.
Oh, yeah.
And before you know it, we start scheming and planning again.
Yeah.
And oh, Sarah comes in. Well, maybe this is the way God's going to do it. Maybe this is the way God's going to do it. We can't do it, Brother John. Let's not try to figure it out. Let's not try to see how God's going to bring in the harvest. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it, glory to the love of God. He's going to do it, glory to God. So chapter 16, Ishmael is born. And he will live with Ishmael, thinking this is it, for 13 years.
Come on.
But God says, nope.
That's right.
That's right.
Go ahead, bro.
And we get down to Genesis chapter 17.
Yeah.
God's going to do something. He's going to come in. And old Abraham is You know what? Ishmael's been born, and I'm going to be frank with you. After you connive and scheme and plan and produce it, it won't bring you peace. Ishmael didn't bring peace to Sarah and Abraham's house. Brought conflict. The son of the flesh will always be in conflict with the son of the spirit. And so now that conflict has come, Hagar looks at Sarah and despises her. And Sarah despises Hagar.
Right.
And little Ishmael, he's running around. Till he's 13 years old. And then we come to chapter 17, and Abraham is now 99. And you know what God does? He's had Ishmael for 13 years, and he's thinking, this is it. This is as good as it gets. And when he's 99, he's well past producing seed. And his wife is well past the time of producing children. Oh, glory to God. I don't know, church, how long he'll tarry. We might be digging and scraping for 10 more years. But I'm just telling you this morning, we got to refrain from scheming and planning. We just got to stay faithful and judge him faithful that promised. I'd rather have a child born of the Spirit that takes me 50 years to get to than to have one born of the flesh that I can produce in 5 minutes. I'm telling you, I'd rather have the glory of God and wait for the power of God and the glory to come. Hallelujah.
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 And so God comes in chapter 17, verse 2. And I'll make my covenant betwixt me and thee and multiply you exceedingly. Oh, he just reminds him, I'm going to multiply you and I'm going to make my covenant. Kings are coming from you. Kings are coming from you. And I'm going to establish in verse 7 my covenant between me and thee and thy seed and after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. Oh, and he goes on to tell him, and he tells him this is about his covenant. Now he says, I want you to do something. I want you to circumcise yourself. And I want you to get every male in your house. And you're going to circumcise Ishmael, everything that's been born in your house. Every man, you're going to be circumcised. Ishmael was born and produced by the seed of an uncircumcised Abraham. But Isaac will not be produced by an uncircumcised Abraham. He will have to circumcise himself before he will ever produce the seed that God says is mine. I'm telling you that God will never birth a Holy Ghost meeting out of a people that are impure and a people that are in league with the flesh. He's going to sanctify our hearts. He's going to sanctify our hearts. He's going to sanctify our hearts. You're going to identify with me, Abraham. You're not going to be like the pagans.
That's right.
I'm marking you.
Yeah.
I'm marking you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mark you in your most private place. I'm going to mark you in the most sensitive place.
Yeah.
I'm going to mark you in the most delicate place. I'm going to mark you in a place you're going to be reminded of me every day.
Yeah.
And you're going to know it's a little base, but every time you go to the restroom, you're going to know I'm God.
Right.
And you're going to know I'm God of your life, even from the lowest point under the highest point. I'm your God, and you will not be like the gods of the men of this world. And they said, when my seed comes from you, it'll be a circumcised seed going to the Lamb of God. You're going to have to bear my mark upon your body. Maybe our harvest will come when the marks of persecution that purges the church from its hypocrisy, that purges the church from the pretenders. The pretenders will get out when the persecution comes on. The hypocrites will run when the heat gets turned up on the fire. Woo, glory to the Lamb of God. But what we'll be left with is a pure and holy remnant. What you'll be left with is gold that's been tried in the fire. And then God will take that gold and he'll build up an
nation. Hallelujah. He'll raise up a seed for himself, and he'll raise up a people. And when it looks like the womb is dead, and when it looks like the seed can't be produced, he'll say, bear my mark. Bear my mark. And if you'll bear my mark, I'll give you seed going to the Lamb of God. If you identify with me, I'll give you the seed that'll give you the promise that I have given unto you. I'm telling you something right now. That man went out there and circumcised the men. And when he did so, he now has become distinct from all pagan nations. And God has removed from him the final vestiges of Babylon. God has taken now from Abraham the last signs of a pagan culture that were clinging to him. Ooh, glory to God. In a most private place. God's wanting to reach down into the most private places of your life and get rid of those last strongholds of Babylon. He wants to get rid of that last lingering place of that worldly spirit. Glory to the Lord. That little bit of rebellion that's clinging, that little bit of carnality that's hanging on. Yes, you think it's all in Ishmael. Man, you ain't got it right. It ain't coming through Ishmael. He's just the one that stirs up trouble. It's coming through Isaac. It's coming through Isaac. And God says, I'm going to reach down and make my mark in the innermost recesses of your life. And there you will know that I am your God. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on.
Go ahead. Come on.
I think there's still some hidden things that are dragging us down. There's still some attitudes that are not right. Come on. So God's going to purge us. Don't worry about it. He controls time. He's got all the time in the world because time is locked up in God. Hallelujah. He's not confined by time. Time is confined in him. He's not confined by space. Space is confined in him. Glory to the Lamb of God. He's the one without boundaries and limits. Everything else is inside of him. And there in the being of God is this little world that's a ticking. And you're a little speck in that world. But this great and mighty omniscient God is so powerful, he feels the vast expanses of the universe and goes beyond. You can reach the end of space and come up against the wall, and that's the end. But on the other side of that wall, there is God. Glory to the Lamb of God. And when you can go no further, God is there. Glory to the Lamb of God. He is there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God.
Come on, bro. Man.
Thank God.
Somebody ought to get happy this morning.
Amen.
And so now, a year later, this 100-year-old man and his 99-year-old wife have a baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
The womb that was dead came back to life. The seed that was dormant sprung up. And it'll be a circumcised seed. And Isaac is now born. And there are days of joy and rejoicing. Oh, hallelujah. Get out, Ishmael. You no longer have any part. You will not inherit the possessions of Abraham. He'll give you a gift, but get yourself out. I'm telling you, the carnal and the worldly are not going to take part in this thing. The Sanballats and the Tobias have got no part in this work of God and the rebuilding of it, and they will have no inheritance with the saints. No, sir. You don't inherit this land, Ishmael. Put you out. Put you out. Yeah, God's going to bless you, but your days will come to an end. I'm here to tell you, there's folks right now, they are yet reaping the grace and the blessings of God, but their blessings are going to come to an end. There's only one that he said, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. He never gave that promise to Ishmael. I'll make you a nation, but their nation's coming down eventually. But Abraham's will never come down. It'll stand forever, and there'll be a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem. There'll be a new Jerusalem. It will endure. It will endure forever. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right now the rain is falling on the tares as well as the wheat. Right now they're growing up and experiencing the grace and the blessings of God. Don't you be deceived by it. Their days are numbered. Their days are numbered. The son of flesh will not inherit with the son of promise. No, sir. But it's happy days.
Hallelujah.
And Isaac has grown to a young man. And I'm going to close in Genesis 22. The thing is happy days have got so happy that it looks like Abraham might love the promise more than the promise giver. No matter how much God blesses this church, and no matter how many people fill these pews, there's one thing you got to remember. God's got to stay first. No matter how many possessions you get, when it ever looks like you love the possession more than the giver of it, you're going to lose your possession. And God may bring you to the place that He says, you know that great gift I gave you? You know that promise that I gave you? I want it back. I want it back. How many of us would go to stuttering and stammering at that point? But the faith of this man has come to such a place that it's so strong. He's already know what it is to endure. Oh, glory to God. Man, he endured 25 years before he ever got the seed. Now he's got the seed, and he's endured several years with the seed. And he's come to a vision of God that he recognizes his God is almighty, and he can produce it. If it dies, he'll bring it back to life. Sarah's womb was dead, but he brought it to life. Abraham's seed was dead, but he brought it back to life. The promise was dead, but he brought it back to life. And I'm telling you, God says, I want you to take your promise and lay it up there on Mount Moriah. I want you to kill it. I want you to offer it up to me as a sacrifice. I want you to give it unto me and let it be shed and given unto my glory. There's no hesitation. There's no conflict, because this man is devoted to God. And he gets up and he gets the fire, or he gets the sticks, and he gets his young son. He ain't a lad. He ain't a toddler. I'm telling you, he's a young man. He's like one of these young men. I don't know. Maybe 18, 20. I don't know. He's a young man. He's a strapping lad. And I'm telling you, he goes along with his father, and he said, let's go, Dad. We're going to the mountain to worship and to praise God. We're going to the mountain to worship. I would we could raise our children that they love to go and worship God. That when the daddy says, we're going to the house of God, the child says, I'm ready to go, Dad. I'm ready to go and give glory, because your God is my God. Your God is my God. Hallelujah. Listen to me, sons and daughters, if I can put it in you. I want to see more, but I have seen God do good things. I tell you, for 40 years now, I've lived it. I've had ups and downs. I was talking to someone the other day. I remember in my youth, I had that time of volatility and vulnerability, a time when I was not established and I wavered. And but never did I want to leave God. When my mom and dad rebuked me, I turned back to the way. Whenever I felt myself began to be in distance from God, I ran back to the refuge and laid hold of the hope that was my steadfast anchor in my soul. And I'm telling you right now, there came a day in my life that I no longer leaned on mama and daddy. I dug in my heels and said, I'm a living this thing by the grace of God. If mom and daddy go astray, I'm going to carry on. I'm going on. Even if the world turns against me, if my friends go, if my church leaves me, I'm moving on for Jesus. I'm moving on for Jesus.
Hallelujah. All the way. All
Lord,
the way.
Go ahead.
Amen.
God. Amen.
And I'm going to be honest with you. That happened after about a decade of my serving Jesus. I came to that divide where I crossed over that line.
Yeah.
And after that, brother, there was no real battle about wavering in my faith. My faith got firm and my faith got established. And for the last 3 decades and 30 years, I have went through fire after fire. I have faced onslaught after onslaught. I have watched people backslide after backslide. I have faced antagonist after antagonist. I have had enemy after enemy. I've had disappointment after disappointment. I've seen and watched those that I respect to go astray. But I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, I'm still on the way.
Yes,
I'm still in the way. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm still on my way to glory. I'm still on my way to glory. And I love holiness more than I've ever loved it. And I love God more than I've ever loved Him.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going back.
Hallelujah.
You can laugh in the shadows if you want, Satan. God's fixing to send you a message. You think Abraham loves Isaac, but he really loves me.
Come on.
You know the story, but if you'll read, it's in that time again that God renews the promise. And this is when He says, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Glory to God. It's whenever you take your Isaac and you prove to God that I don't love Isaac more than I love you. And I'll tell my sheikh on my time. Hallelujah. It's when you prove I don't love my dream more than I do the one who fulfills it. I don't love my possession more than I do the giver of my possession. I don't love my family more than the one who makes my family. I don't love my church more than the builder of the church. I love God and I love God above everything. With Job, God had to take everything to demonstrate that this man loves me above it all. But with Abraham, he only had to take the seed of the promise. He didn't have to take his sheep and his goats. That was obvious. It was obvious. But take the dearest thing. What is your dearest thing? You better make sure that you give it to God. Whatever's closest to your heart, you better make sure it doesn't dominate you and control you. You better make sure that you're not catering into it and you're making these little concessions and you're shortchanging God while you're giving your time to your little devoted idol and your little devoted possession. Because whatever you're cutting God out for, God's going to cut out of your life. But Abraham lets us know that I don't love my Isaac more than I love my God. And I know my God well enough. He gave me a promise, and I've already been 35, probably 40 years more into that promise, and I ain't going back now. I know He can raise the dead, and if I drive a dagger through the heart of Isaac, He'll raise him up and produce seed. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, God's blessed this church. If we're not careful, God gives you an Isaac and the seed of promise and a blessing. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is go around boasting. Yeah. Can you believe it? His mother and I produced him when I was 100. She was 99. Yeah. Well, how many times he told that story?
I wonder. Yeah.
All you got to do is look at Abraham. Man, that's your child?
Wow.
He ain't that old.
That's right.
Man, look at you. You're 120.
Yeah, brother.
Look at the whiteness in your beard.
Yeah.
Look at the baldness on your head. Yeah. And that's your son? Yeah.
Go ahead, brother. Come on.
Let me tell you the story. 25 years, I had nothing but a promise. Glory to God. But my God came through.
Amen.
If you're not careful, you'll brag so much on Isaac, God will say, give me it to him. Give him to me.
Yeah.
I want your Isaac. I'm telling you, church, we got to remember something. God's worked in this church and he's done some wonderful, mighty things, but let's give it back to him. Let's lay it on the altar. Let's lay the CD ministry on the altar. Let's lay every preaching on the altar. Let's lay every service on the altar. Let's lay every work of faithfulness on the altar. Let's lay every gift and every convert on the altar and say, God, it belongs to you. Mexico is yours. Everything is yours. Every work is yours. If you want to kill it, kill it. If you want to take it out, take it out. But whatever it is, I know that you'll give me the promise and I will see the promotion of my God. Stand to your feet. Let me tell you something this morning. You can't quit.
No.
You can't quit.
No.
You can't quit, Brother Mac. You can't quit, Noah. You can't quit, Michael. You can't quit, Philip. You can't quit, Felipe. You can't quit, David. No puede parar. No. If we stop now, it's lost. God is sovereign. He'll get his will done with or without you.
That's right.
Amen. That's the truth.
He'll build his church with or without you, but he'll build it. He'll reach us who he wants to reach with or without you. But I want him to do it with me.
Amen.
Amen.
I want him to do it with me.
Yeah, that's right.
You can run the best race and have the greatest stamina.
Yeah.
But if you get tripped up 10 yards from the finish line and you lay there, you lost the whole race.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
I don't care if you ran 60 miles well.
Yeah.
If you failed in the last 10 feet, you've lost it all.
That's right.
And can I tell you that the devil works the hardest the closest you are to the victory line. Can I tell you, your hardest mile is your last mile.
Yeah.
Your greatest challenge is the last few feet.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. But there's some folks in this church this morning, I'm here to tell you about it. Oh, there's some folks like Brother Hooten. There's some folks like Brother Al. There's some folks like Brother Hooten or Brother Cottle and Brother Woods. I'm telling you, there's some older folks in here. I don't worry about you and others I'm not naming, but I ain't worried about you. You've done been in the fight too long. I know you're not going back. But young people, you haven't seen all that you're going to see. You haven't faced all you're going to face. You haven't had all the battles you're going to have. And you're going to face some dark days and some dark hours. But you can have the promise. You can have the promise if you will determine, I'm going through. I'm going through. Hallelujah. And if I get disappointed and my schemes fail, I'm turning back to my God and let him do it his way.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I have thought and thought. I have prayed. Show me a way, God, to reach Washington. Show me, God.
Yes.
We have done many things, but it seems like we're not getting anywhere.
No.
Lord, I want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And we get excited for a while, and then we just cool off. And I'm telling you what, but you know something I've determined? I know the cool off period comes. Even after you get an Isaac, if this cool chills out, and you get an Ishmael and you go 13 years, and you don't hear nothing from God, and you think, well, what it is, we'll just live with second best. We'll just live with it. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't want you living with second best. He wants you having the best. And somewhere, you and I
just got to dig our heels in and say, I'm going to have that promise, and I'm going to have it God's way, and I'm not giving up in this race. I'm going to preach holiness and righteousness and truth, and I'm going to do it until I die. And if I don't get it, my Isaacs will lay hold of it. Glory to God. And if I don't see it, I've got an Isaac and a Jacob, and they'll know it. Glory to the love of God. But when I die, they'll have the witness of a man who stayed faithful to God.
Hallelujah.
Persevere. Persevere. Get out of Babylon. When your friends and family are pitching their tents towards Sodom, you just let God renew the promise in your life.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
When you go rescue them out of their troubles,
yeah,
and you stir up the hornet's nest,
uh-huh,
you just let God be your reward.
Amen.
And it looks like they get the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You did the work and they got the blessing.
Yeah.
Abraham did the rescuing and Lot got the blessing.
Yeah.
You just let God be your reward.
Yes.
You content yourself to know that I got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Glory.
Mm.
Great.
Hallelujah.
God will come down and he's entered into covenant with us. We're a covenant people with God. We're in league with him and not in league with the devil. He's our promise giver. And I'm telling you what, when he dies down and it looks like God isn't going to do it, let's just not try to scheme. Let's not try to produce an Ishmael. Let's not try to find another fruitful womb to have the child of God. No, sir. God's child will be produced in the womb that he prepares. What we need to do is let God prepare the womb. Oh, what we need to do is let God sanctify our hearts and circumcise our flesh. Let him circumcise our flesh, because he'll produce that seed. He'll produce the seed. Oh, glory to the love of God. God is not dead. God is not dead. Sometimes I've been trying to figure out, how you going to do it, God? God, you promised to fill with the Holy Ghost. How you going to do this?
Right.
I got quit. It drives you crazy. Just quit. You dig in and be faithful to God. You take one day at a time. You just tend the flocks. Glory to God. You just guide the house. You just worship him. You glorify the God of heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something right now. God could have produced Isaac without ever having an Ishmael. Oh, glory. Imagine how quick our Isaac might would have come if there'd have been no Ishmael. But God will bring you to the end of your schemes. He'll bring you to the end of your plans until you can say, I can't do it. Oh, hallelujah. I've been saying that a lot lately. I'm telling you about Brother Woods. I've been saying a lot lately, I can't do this. Did I tell you, God, I can't do it? Did I tell you that I can't do this? I can't. You don't help me, I'm done for. I told him, if you leave me alone, I'll backslide. If you give up on me, I'm done for. If you quit on me, God, I'm out. You've got to help me, and I'm here to tell you, he ain't never failed. He ain't never failed. He ain't never failed. He ain't never failed. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
When I am weak, then I'm strong. When I am weak, then I am strong.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
As much as I stand here to declare to you today, what God has promised this church will come to pass if we will endure.
Right.
Amen.
Great. Yes, sir.
Amen. Don't you come to church downhearted. You come to church on fire.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Don't you come to church saying, I prayed and prayed and it ain't never happened. No. You come to church thinking, tonight's the night.
Amen.
Yeah. David, Dios está contigo todavía. Él te llena. Le has obedecido hoy. Hallelujah. You've obeyed him today. Don't you let anybody tell you different. God tells you to run, you run.
Amen.
Well, by the woods, I ran and God didn't feel me. That don't matter. You run anyway.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Yeah,
you leave the feeling to God.
Yeah.
You just do the obeying.
Amen.
You just do. Oh, hallelujah. I wish you'd get happy somewhere. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hand and praise him today? Why don't you lift your hand and praise him today? God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Holy Ghost is here. Holy Ghost is here. Holy Ghost is here. Come on, to Mahaya. Shana na Mahanda na Mahaya. Konda na na Mandria Barra Barria na Ramadana na Labaya na Labasi. Looks like all is gone. When things have settled down and life has become a monotonous routine, and you're in your tent and it's just another hot day. The cry of Sodom has gotten so wretched and wicked, and the report out of Sodom is so bad you can't even talk about it. I'm telling you, it's got so wicked down there, they don't even have 10 people who are serving God. Oh, you're listening to the cry, and you think, man, ain't nothing. It's just an ordinary day. But in the heat of that ordinary day, lift up your eyes. Three visitors are coming across the horizon. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You keep you a lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Shows up.
Yeah.
I got three measures of meal. I still got meal in the barrel. Oh, prepare the lamb. Prepare the lamb. And sit down with God.
Hey God.
Oh, thank you, Lord.